My guest at this time is Stephen Camerata, Director of Research at the Center for Immigration Studies. We want to get his thoughts on what, if anything, is going to get done on immigration policy or border security when Congress returns after Labor Day. And Steve, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
President Trump, of course, unveiled the RAISE Act not too long ago. That's the one that calls for more being required to get in the country in terms of English proficiency, being able to support yourself and so forth. And immediately the head counting on Capitol Hill showed it faces pretty steep odds, particularly on the Senate side. Can much of anything get done right now with the even divide on the Senate side, and especially with all four Republican members of the Gang of Eight in there?
Right now, it would be hard to pass. However, one of the ways it might pass is if it was part of a compromise that gave some kind of legal status to those illegal immigrants who came at young ages, sort of the people currently covered by the program called DACA, in return for the provisions of the RAISE Act, kind of make our legal immigration make more sense. And so that kind of possible political compromise might be out there.
Do you think that would be enough to get Democrats on board? And are you okay giving that up to get the other things?
From my perspective, I think that the Jordan Commission about 20 years ago had it right. It was chaired by the late Barbara Jordan. She was the first African-American woman elected from the South. And she laid out, I think, a pretty compelling case that while immigration creates benefits, it really would make sense for a more moderate pace of immigration overall, and that the current system that puts so much emphasis on whether you have a relative here would need to be curtailed, emphasizing only those who are trying to bring in a spouse or, in the rare cases, have a child overseas. But other than the spouses and minor children of U.S. citizens, I think that should be the core of family immigration, not the broader categories we have now. And that's essentially what the RAISE Act does. So that kind of change makes an awful lot of sense. And so if we legalized 800,000 people who, say, came at young ages, I think that would be a fair compromise.
We're talking with Steve Camerata. He's the Director of Research at the Center for Immigration Studies. And Steve, the art of negotiation, of course, is knowing where you can give a little and where you really don't. And really can't give a little. So whether you're looking at the RAISE Act or any other key immigration provisions, what would be your advice either to this administration or congressional negotiators? What can stay and what has to stay and what can go if necessary?
Obviously, enforcement, controlling the border, going after the employers who hire people here who are illegally here, and also an entry-exit system that records the arrival and departure of people. Although it may surprise your listeners, 200 million times foreigners come into the United States or more a year on time-limited basis. That means they have a temporary visa, a tourist, a guest worker, a foreign student, and we don't keep track of the time they're here, so we don't know if the time limit has been honored. And so that obviously needs to change. So an entry-exit system, going after the employers and controlling the border are absolute musts, and rationalizing the legal immigration system, getting rid of the more extraneous family categories, getting rid of the so-called visa lottery, which literally lets people mail a postcard in. They can do it electronically now. And we draw your name out of a hat. We give 50,000 visas out that way each year. None of that, I think, makes sense. I would say the bottom line is do what's in the interest of the American people, and I think that's what's in the interest of the public. I realize that the immigrants themselves may benefit by coming here, and that's something to think about, and maybe that's why we should continue to have a reasonable pace of immigration. But it doesn't, to my mind, justify the enormous level of legal immigration, nor does it justify tolerating illegal immigration.
What absolutely can't be in this?
Well, I think some kind of increase in immigration. Right now, the levels are extremely high. There are about 47 million immigrants, not counting any of their children born here or anything like that, living in the United States. Census Bureau projections show that the overall immigrant or foreign-born population will hit a record never before seen in American history in about 5 years, in 2022, and then continue to decrease thereafter. I think that one thing we could not see, which was in the 2006, 2007, and 2013 efforts to legalize illegal immigrants, they all included large increases in legal permanent immigration and in guest workers. And I think they're the things. Any increase is a non-starter.
Steve, you and Mark Krikorian and Jessica Vaughn and other folks we've had from CIS have made it clear why the status quo on immigration is not a good thing. But how tolerable is the status quo now that existing immigration laws, at least most of them, are being more strictly enforced?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. Don't get me wrong. Having Trump in there, whatever else you may think of him, he's pushing enforcement. He's going after illegal immigrants, those who are criminal aliens. He's trying to increase worksite enforcement, get the cooperation of local law enforcement. All of that makes sense, and that's a very big deal. But it doesn't do that much to address the overall issue of numbers. How many people can we assimilate? What is the absorption capacity of America's physical infrastructure? What is the absorption capacity of schools? How many people can we assimilate? That's why numbers all matter so much. And unless we start bringing the legal numbers, which are enormous and account for 3/4 of all immigrants, we're not going to deal with many of the biggest problems the country faces stemming from immigration.
Last question, Steve. How tough and how toxic is this debate, given what we've seen over the debate concerning the travel ban, both 1.0 and 2.0, and also at a time when groups like the Center for Immigration Studies are being labeled as a hate group for your views by the Southern Poverty Law Center?
Yeah, look, there's always kooks. There's kooks on the right. There's kooks like the Southern Poverty Law Center on the left. I think, you know, people throw epithets around all the time. It's unfortunate, but, you know, it happens. But you're right. It's a very tough debate. Careful, intelligent, fact-based discourse is hard for most people, and the polarized environment makes it harder. To his credit, Trump has at least been willing to address some of the big issues, but not to his credit, he has not done so in a careful and sensitive way, and he's contributed in that way to polarization. So while you can give him good marks for bringing up some important topics that have to be addressed, he has not done it. Often in a very constructive way.
Steve, we'll call time there. Thank you, sir, very much for helping give us a preview of what might be coming down the pike this fall.
Thanks for having me.
Steve Camerata, Director of Research at the Center for Immigration Studies in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.